That was beautiful. Welcome to all of you. We're glad that you're here. Today in worship, we're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We're going to give thanks for the fact that we have a life so freely offered in Jesus Christ, a life in which we can be the recipients of God's constant love and grace. And so we've gathered together under the leadership mostly of the choir this morning to just lift up our hearts and to do that with song. So thank you for being here. If you will, please note the people on the prayer list that are in the bulletin. They're folks that do need your prayers. I also wanted to remind the men, we'll have a prayer breakfast meeting on Wednesday morning if you want to join us for that. But again, welcome. Glad you're here. Let me offer an opening prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we desire to worship you as you deserve. We pray that as we lift our voices in praise, we would learn to walk in your ways and to love you with all our hearts. For we know you're our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days who still comes and faithfully loves his people. It is you who picked us up out of the miry clay and clothed us in your own robe of righteousness. You've cleansed us of our sins and will wipe every tear from our eyes. You give strength to the weak. You help the oppressed, food to the hungry, and you comfort those who are suffering. So we bless you for our preservation and all the many blessings of this life. And we humbly ask that you would just receive our thanks as we worship you, our most generous and gracious Lord. Amen. Before we get into our singing and praising, if you would, take the peace that we have with Jesus Christ and share that with one another. Will you welcome each other with the peace of Jesus Christ? And may the peace of Christ be with you all. And I would like to ask, I know the kids may not be ready, but would any of the young people or our children want to come up? I want to have a moment with y'all where I want to tell you a story. So our young kids, they want to come up. Come on down, Lexi and Hallie. And I think I see some in the, oh, Lillian too. Okay, Lillian, come on up. All right. Good deal. Hi, Lillian. All right. Hey, Michael. Just in time. That's right. Just in time. Now, Michael, I know you'll know some of these, but how many of y'all know knock-knock jokes? Where you say knock-knock and you guys say who's there? And yeah, okay. All right. Let me see if you know any of these knock knock jokes. Knock knock. Mustache. Mustache you a question. Huh? You can do one, Michael. What is it? Who's there? Broken pencil. Broken pencil who?
Forget it, it's pointless.
Oh, he said forget it, it's pointless. Oh my gosh. His are better than mine, just so you know. I've been outdone. Well, here's another. Let me see if I can do better. Knock, knock. Spell. Okay, if you want me to. W-H-O. Do you know one, Ryan? Who's there?
Bacon
who?
I'm baking a cake for you.
Oh, you're baking a cake for me. Good. I hope it's chocolate. Okay. Knock, knock. Boo. There's no need to cry. We're just telling jokes.
But they're sad jokes.
Okay, here's one. Knock, knock. been? Been knocking for 10 minutes. Please let me in. Here's one. Knock, knock. Doris. Doris locked. Please open it. I won't do this forever, so don't worry. I'll let you out of your misery pretty soon. Knock, knock. A door. A door is between us, so please unlock it and let me in. Okay. Michael, I think you get the winning joke. That was pretty. Do you have one, Lexi? Who's there? Cow who?
Moo.
Okay. Yeah, that's what cows do. Well, hey, I want to give you a Bible story, and it involves knocking on a door. I don't know if you know this, but Jesus told a story about knocking on a door, and he indicated, gosh, some people came, and when they knocked on the door, it was too late. And so let's hear what Jesus has to say about these door knockers. Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching, and he was making his way toward Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be just a few?" And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, and you will say as you knock at the door, 'Lord, open to us.' And he will say, 'I don't know where you come from.' And then you will begin to say, 'We ate and we drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Men will come from east and from west, from north and south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." What do you think he meant when he said, "Some will enter by the narrow door"? I tell you, they will seek to enter and not be able. What was he saying to the people? Because it doesn't sound like a funny knock-knock joke, does it? Some were knocking. Let me in. We could say knock-knock, but there'd nobody there to be saying, "Who's there?" I think what Jesus was trying to let us know is, y'all have an opportunity, a big opportunity. Actually, the most important opportunity of your life, and he doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't want the door to close on that opportunity of being able to know God. And all you got to do is knock on the door of heaven. You know who's going to answer? Jesus. He'll answer that door and he's going to say, "Come on in." And y'all can go and together sit forever in the presence of God. Because God wants to be with you right now. What I want you to know is God is often going to do the knocking. He may knock on your heart. And he's going to say, "Will you open your heart and let me in?" Because you know where God wants to live? In your heart. I hope you'll hear as he knocks on the door of your heart throughout your life, because he wants to live there in the very depths of your being so that he can be your Lord and yours too, little Lillian. Yeah. So why don't we pray? Let's ask God that as he knocks on the door of our hearts, we'd let him in. Let's pray. God, we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we have a way to you. We thank you that when we knock, he will answer. We thank you that you will not turn us away. We thank you that he leads us in the life that you want to give us. And I pray that these children, that Lillian, that the whole congregation, myself, we would all have hearts with open doors to you and your loving presence, not only today, but always. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for the knock-knock jokes. If you ever get another funny one, please let me know. Y'all give them a round of applause. The choir really is pretty much the verses I'm going to read from Psalm 95. It's about singing. It's a call to worship and praise for the greatness and glory of God in our lives. So let us hear from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And with that in mind, let's stand and do just that. Let's sing. We're going to use hymn 356, Come Thou Fount of Every Font of Every Blessing. And verse 3 will be the choir, and verse 1 is choir and congregation, and verse 3 is choir and congregation. But let's sing hymn 356.
Streets of mercy. Good morning. Born in Rhode Island, Ray Palmer graduated from Yale University and eventually was ordained into the ministry. He carried a small leather-bound book in his pocket and often wrote down thoughts, poems, ideas, and meditations. In 1830, at the age of 22, Palmer wrote a poem of which he said, "The words of this hymn were born of my own soul." This hymn is described as one of the greatest hymns ever written by an American. Please join us as we sing hymn number 383, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee."
You may be seated. Our next reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. And I don't know if you're aware of this section of Isaiah, but the people have been held in slavery. They've been taken out of their homes and been in captivity. And this is the promise of God to lead them home. And it's important because not only is God promising to lead them home, but it lets the people know God hadn't given up on them. God hadn't forgotten them in their distress. And so the people are going to praise God for their new freedom and for the provision that they will need in the wilderness as God leads them home. Hear the word of the Lord. "Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. Blessed assurance,
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glorious glory mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
made famous by singers such as Mahalia Jackson and George Beverly Shea. The lyrics of our next hymn were written by Sevilla Martin after meeting an elderly couple named Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for over 20 years, and her husband was crippled and had to use a wheelchair. Observing this couple's bright hopefulness and joy, Mrs. Martin asked them their secret. Mrs. Doolittle replied, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." This simple expression of faith resulted in the famous hymn played by our Joyful Praise Bell Choir.
Thank you.
in this moment of our service, I try to say it in a new way every time, but it is really so important that as God is revealed and we begin to discover how for us God really is, so much so that He would give His one and only Son to be the sacrifice for our sins, and then that He would then, after forgiving us, supply us with the resurrection, showing us that we have a new life. When we see that God's love will go any distance it takes to love us, hopefully our response is, I want to worship God. I want to give myself to the Lord, because this is such, not just good news, it's great news, it's fantastic news, it's the best news there is. And so when the ushers come down the aisle, this isn't about giving money. It's that reminder that what are we offering our lives to? Hopefully it's the Lord, because we see this is the best place or the best person in whom I can give my living to. And so, God, you can have any of my resources or my time or my talents. You certainly got my worship, and yes, you've got my service as well, because I'm just here to just take all those blessings you've given me and say thank you. So this is not just about money. It's about making an offering of our lives to God. So consider that as the plates go by and you count the many blessings you have from the Lord.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar.
Let us pray. For the wondrous gifts of life, we are indeed thankful, O God. Your generous outpouring of grace reminds us of the fruitful life that we're called to bear. And so may these gifts of time and labor embody our desire to share and contribute to your coming reign among us. And as we offer our treasure and hearts to you, O God, may they be used to pass on the promise of peace, hope, of life, of community to all in need of your gift and presence in their lives. We ask all of this because we long for the time when the meek shall inherit the earth and all who hunger and thirst after justice shall be satisfied. And we believe that despite the persistence of evil, now is always the time when good can be done and that we can make a difference for the sake of your glory, of your kingdom. So as we offer ourselves and our gifts to you, may we remember those who are forgotten by us, the hungry, the lonely, the humble. Yet they are important citizens in your kingdom of grace, justice, and hope. And we lift up those in our midst, such as Dorothy and Dud and Martha and Elsie and Marshall and the Strindon family and the Maxwells and Lauren and Anne and the Reddings and the long list of all those on our prayer list who need your strength and your might to face the days ahead. By your presence now, make us to be your servant church, full of present-day disciples who are always eager to hear, receive, and respond to your call. For we recognize the greatest gift for our world today is the gift of love, the sacrificial love you've constantly given us in Jesus Christ. May all that we think, say, offer, hope, and do so your deeds of love as we, the church, together lift our voices to heaven, praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated on this next hymn, it's hymn 391, Take My Life, but let us sing it prayerfully as we sing it together. Hymn 3, verse 1, 2, and 6.
Thank you.
John Newton was born in 1725 in London and grew up to be a rough, hardened, degenerate sailor, eventually working on slave ships. During a voyage home with supplies, the ship was caught in a tremendous storm and almost sank. Newton prayed to God, and the cargo miraculously shifted to fill the hole in the ship's side, and the vessel came to shore safely. Newton took this as a sign from the Almighty and marked it as his conversion to Christianity. Although he did not change his ways all at once, he did begin to read the Bible, and eventually Newton was ordained as an Anglican priest and composed 280 hymns. Amazing Grace is probably the most beloved hymn of all time and certainly Newton's most famous. Please stand as we sing hymn number 280, Amazing Grace.
You may be seated. Our next scripture is from Psalm 147. Again, may the goodness, the greatness, and the faithfulness of God, may it put a song of joy in your heart. That's why we sing and worship the Lord. psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving and make melody to our God on the lyre. For this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." That was great. And it just reminded me, the choir, all of you, June, Debbie, they've used their gifts of music to lift us up into the glory of God. And I think what the choir has done musically for us today is a reminder of what God has purposed for us to do, to use those gifts that He's given us so that we can lift others up into the glory of God. So I hope you'll do that as you go forth into this week as His witness. But please stand for the benediction. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And may Jesus Christ forever and always be your peace. Amen.